Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
There's a split within Cameroon over the language that is spoken. And this particular split, which we've heard about from our friend and listener Akko over there, had been getting violent recently. It had been getting to the point where people had taken to the streets, where the government was trying to restrict the ability for the English-speaking people to, let's say you're being prosecuted. Melanie is, by the way, a legal trained. You went to law school down in Louisiana. Typically, in the United States, when you go to court and you don't speak English fluently, a lot of courts, as I understand it, will go ahead and provide an interpreter for you.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, I would say, though, that that's the quality of any other government-provided service. You might get a good one, you might not, but yeah, they're supposed to.
Right, and you know, sometimes they just call it in. I've seen them do it in New Hampshire, where they bring out the speakerphone and they'll dial a number for some translator service. Having identified the language the person who's in court speaks, they're given several options, and so they don't even have to have the person in the courtroom. So there's just generally something that Yeah, I'm not going to say this is a good justice system, but that the more Western court systems will provide to somebody.
And there are people that don't like that. We had the lady call into the show last night that said, if you can't speak English, you should be deported to wherever you came from. And my question was, what about the people in Pennsylvania that were born there that speak German because that's just their culture?
She said that's no big deal.
That's different because they don't bother anybody.
So anyway, it's, you know, kind of what the courts do to maintain their aura of legitimacy. It's something that they do to make people who are in there think, oh, yeah, that's fair. They ought to do that. Well, over in Cameroon, Africa, they are no longer providing English-speaking attorneys for the people who have been charged with crimes. Tensions are so high that 10 people were killed in demonstrations over language discrimination in Bamenda in the month of December, according to a coalition of human rights groups based in the city. The government sent in 5,000 troops to so-called stabilize the city. Now, of course, the government caused this problem in the first place by not, you know, allowing the English speakers to have their own language and trying to cram French basically down their throats. Two officials with the Cameroon Anglophone Civil Society Consortium have been charged with terrorism and rebellion against the state for their role in the recent protests and face the death penalty if convicted.
If I went into a courtroom where they were speaking French, that would be malpractice. Not if I literally went into a courtroom, but if I tried to represent someone in a courtroom where they were speaking French, that would be malpractice.
Trying your best to help your client.
It's still malpractice.
Well, the malpractice, in my opinion, would be on the part of the court. I mean, you're there to do a job. They're the ones hindering your ability to do that job. You're there trying to help your client, but you don't know what to do. Now, it's a crazy situation. And so the English-speaking teachers have also joined them in the strike. According to the story at Yahoo.com and the Associated Press, the teachers are saying there's an overbearing influence of French in schools in the English-speaking regions. The impasse is frustrating students and parents who feel like they're caught in the middle. Parent Ndip Victor says, I'm just pleading, government help us so that our children, Cameroonians of tomorrow, should go back to school so that this country should be stabilized and peaceful. I got a text message from someone purporting to be Akko. I believe it was him, because I ended up calling him. This came in at about 2:48 in the morning, and it came in. I don't know if I should read the actual text message here, but it basically says he's been arrested, and not only has he been arrested, he mentions that they are cutting off the internet there, so there's no way to chat with me online. Due to Google Voice's restrictions, I was unable to text him back. So I could receive texts, but I could not send a text back. I then called him after getting this message from him, because what he asked me to do in the message is to get rid of access to podcasts, which include him, saying that if the government finds those podcasts, that he will go to jail. And that's a tough situation to be in. So I'm looking for input here on, you know, what do you do in this situation? Because, you know, the first thing I called him because I wanted to get him on the phone. I couldn't text him back, so I called him. And
to verify that it was him and not just some, you know, scammer purporting to be him.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I can't say for sure I could verify it because the voice was so muffled. It sounded like he was talking to me through a pillow, and I can't say for, like, I couldn't really make out what he was saying.
He probably was talking through something if he was being arrested.
No. He had been arrested, out on bail, and so he claimed, was reaching out to me to basically get rid of any evidence of the conversations that we've had with him where he has been, you know, critical of the government in Cameroon. And I remember early on in his calls, he was saying that he could get in trouble for calling Free Talk Live. This was a couple years ago,
right?
2 or 3 years ago when we first encountered him, when he was first calling in on Skype. And, you know, he seemed like he was willing to take that risk. The only other option would be to delete the podcast.
And I mean, not even really. They're on the internet. They've been on the internet for years.
That was my problem.
You can't delete things. Even if you wanted to,
you can't
delete things from the internet.
And I double checked, you know, I went and I searched for ACO, Cameroon, Free Talk Live, and I found a variety of places where those podcasts were, you know, essentially linked to or copied to or whatever. And so it's like, even if I were to do this for him, there's no guarantee that that's going to help him in any way. And if anything, it will remove however many episodes. I mean, that's a lot of...
Right, so does he want you to remove the entire episode or just cut out the sections that he was in? And in either case, that's going to be very arduous to
do.
It's
a lot of... Yeah, right.
Well, because you've got to go through... Yeah. How many years of podcasts, try to find all of the show notes...
And he was on a lot.
Use the word ACO...
Yeah.
And just because you have the letters A-K-O together doesn't mean that it's not part of a bigger word.
Well, it's pretty much ACO's going to be. I'm going to find ACO if I look for that. And so are they. If they're going to search for his name and Free Talk Live, they're going to find all these other sites
right.
that have links to that. And there would have been no, like, at the time when I was on the phone with him, I, you know, was just having enough trouble trying to understand him, not because of a language barrier, but because the phone that he was on was god-awful, so I could not understand really what he was saying. I had his text messages, so I know what he wanted me to do in general. And this was a couple of weeks ago now that this happened, and I just haven't really... I don't know what to do about it at this point. I feel like... I really like this guy, and I appreciate everything that he's done as far as calling the show and being a part of the broadcast that we have here and sharing what life is like in there. But at the same time, I, you know, just from my perspective of freedom of speech, I don't want to. I've sort of just got a natural disinclination from doing this.
There was a time over this past summer that I called. I'm not sure if you remember this, Ian, but... I actually ended up getting into a debate with a gentleman about the difference between paying rent at a mall and paying taxes.
Okay.
I remember at the beginning of that call, I proudly told you guys that I worked a job where I did not pay taxes. And, you know, you said something, be careful. And my response was, well, that's why I don't use my real name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's my, you know... What I would suggest to anybody out there that's going to make claims like that, I mean, I guess there's probably some people out there that might recognize my voice, although I don't know anybody personally that listens to you guys. But I guess theoretically there could be somebody out there that,
yeah,
you know, recognizes my voice. But you know, besides that, you know, I do have a legitimate job now on the, you know, because I'm trying to save to get to New Hampshire, but I still, you know, I still participate in agorism because, out of principle, I don't believe in taxes.
Nobody should do any kind of activism if they're not comfortable with that risk level. And, I mean, the unfortunate thing is it does come with risk, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, it sure does.
What risk
anytime
you
challenge
with,
the state.
Do
anytime.
That.
Anytime you have any kind of level of challenge, whether it's inside the political system, whether you're challenging it from the outside, anytime the state and the status quo is in some form of jeopardy because of your actions, even if it's just a jeopardy to their legitimacy, there's a chance they may fight you over it and that you might get hurt. You might be, you know, you might have your family taken from you. You might have your freedom taken from you. You might be locked into a cage. You might have your life taken from you. And these are all possibilities.
And I was going to say that's part of the reason that, I actually got a legitimate job that way, you know, because they might start questioning how I, you know, I'm able to afford to live, you know, where I live and do the things that I do, you know, if I'm. So, yeah, I went out and actually got a job where, unfortunately, I'm paying taxes. I'm not happy about it, but essentially it's to kind of fly, you know, fly under the radar and, you know, make myself look legitimate at the very least.
You're worried that Trump is going to somehow defund New Mexico because he has been threatening that when it comes to California.
Right. Well, that's what he promised. He said, I'm going to choke out the federal funding from sanctuary counties, sanctuary states, cities, sanctuary universities.
I think it's great news. I hope that he does. Because then that will encourage those places to secede. That will encourage those places to start thinking about walking away from the federal government.
I think you're taking a huge leap by saying that a lack of federal funding will cause people to start thinking about secession.
Well, I mean, certainly...
What else is the reason?
What's the reason for what?
What else is the reason for wanting to be in the federal government?
Well, there are some people.
Your own money back.
Right. There are some people that think we need the federal government because they have a military and they protect us from all of the mean, bad people around the world. We need the federal government because they make sure that fill in the blank. They make sure that roads get paved. They make sure that.
But they won't be.
Puppy dogs and sunshine and rainbows.
But they won't be making sure roads get paved if they're cutting off funding. You're really good at calling talk radio. So what you ought to consider doing is learning something about secession and start calling every talk radio station in the state of New Mexico. Just get a list. You probably already have the list, right? You've got a list of talk radio stations and you know, times that shows are on, phone numbers. You got that, right?
Well, you know what? I'm not crazy about secession because that's all going to go down into a violent confrontation.
Cameroon.
What we have now is a violent confrontation. We have this occupying gang that calls themselves the state and the feds, and they go out and violently do things to people. So if you want to get rid of them, yeah, it's probably going to be violent, but overall, it might be less violent.
I've been hearing for probably 20 years or so that the dollar's going to collapse in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't happened yet.
It's not. Well, one, it's not happened yet, obviously, but... There are still some people saying it's going to happen within 6 months.
Right.
So at some point, you just have to realize that people are lying to you. Whether it's intentional or not, you know, of this, you know, it's going to happen within 6 months.
That's a prediction. I mean, is it a lie if you actually believe that that's going to happen? I mean, I don't believe that for a moment, but...
I didn't say you did believe it.
Right.
I'm saying, you know, the people that... still consistently for like 20 plus years saying this is all of the signs are there. It's happening.
Yeah. If they keep saying it over and over again, then I would say that points to dishonesty.
Right. At some point you have to realize, you know, people are lying to you, whether it's intentional or not, it's a lie.
And
so if I tell you I ate a chicken sandwich for lunch today, there's no reason that I should lie about what I ate for lunch. But if I tell you a falsehood about what I ate for lunch,
but you knowingly are telling.
I have lied.
So you're intending to deceive me into thinking that you ate a chicken sandwich, when in point of fact you ate chicken jerky.
Actually, I did not eat lunch today,
but you did eat chicken jerky. I saw you eat
that. That was supper.
Okay, whatever. My point is, you knew you were wrong when you made that statement. You
right,
couldn't
but
possibly...
let's say that I thought that, you know, I ate a sandwich. Earlier in the day, like, I know I ate a sandwich, and maybe it was the first meal that I ate, so technically not lunch. Then is it a lie? Why
just
should
the way
be
you're talking makes it seem
deceive?
That you're trying to deceive somebody.
Right,
here.
But my point
because
is there
matters.
Are some people that lie about stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that they should have any intent
the
to
reasons
deceive
don't
about
matter.
What they...
The reasons don't matter.
But
if you know
the one
something's
that says
false...
That the reason does matter.
No, I'm saying the intent to deceive. If you know something is false and you speak that false thing, you're telling a lie by my book. Now, if you
so what
use
if the, you misremember and then somebody...
Then you're just wrong. You
then
could
you're
be
just
wrong,
wrong
for a variety of reasons. Yeah. I mean,
so like, you're lying.
No, you're just wrong.
Hey Daily Digest listeners, if you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon, or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
With the caller in camera, you can't go back and find his podcast. That's not your responsibility. Number one. Second of all, you shouldn't, because you know that's free speech and those things. You know, you shouldn't have to comply with the government and their tyranny over there. And he probably shouldn't have even asked you to do it. He's got to take the initiative to just get out, to just try to find somewhere else where he can actually call into a radio station without being, prosecuted by the government. Having said that, there's always risk when you call into something. You know, I think the best way to do it is to try to be as congruent as possible with your thoughts, words, and actions when you're speaking in general, and that way you don't have the kind of remorse that could potentially hurt you down the road. The old expression, burning the boats, what you do and Daryl does, you're pretty much burning the boats.
What does that mean? I'm not familiar with that expression, burning the boat.
The Vikings in the Middle Ages, they would land somewhere, and in order to conquer this land, to really give themselves the leverage to do so, they would light their boat on fire. That way they couldn't go back.
Would light their own boat on fire?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because then you can't leave until there is no turning around.
Donald Trump saying California is out of control in many ways. He was responding to a question from Bill O'Reilly on Fox about efforts by Democratic state legislators to make California a de facto sanctuary state that would restrict state and local law enforcement, including school police and security departments, from using their resources to aid federal authorities in immigration enforcement. Trump said, quote, "I think it's ridiculous. Sanctuary cities, as you know, I'm very much opposed to sanctuary cities. They breed crime. There's a lot of problems," he said. Sacramento, Los Angeles, and San Francisco are sanctuary cities and have said they will challenge in court any attempt by Trump to withhold federal funds from them. So, Daryl, what is going on with the Kremlin?
It's that big, horrible building in Russia, and the people inside of that building are not happy with Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-mm.
Headline from the New York Times, Kremlin asked Fox News to apologize to Putin after O'Reilly calls him a killer.
Now was this in the same interview we were just talking about where Trump was interviewed by him prior to the Super Bowl? Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Trump was interviewed by Putin yesterday.
Trump was interviewed by
O'Reilly yesterday.
That would be interesting, though. Putin
Trump's
interview.
Actually yet to meet with Putin.
Right.
Russia is seeking an apology from Fox News after Bill O'Reilly described Russian President Vladimir Putin as a killer during an interview with President Trump.
That's a pretty mild insult for a world leader.
Now, wasn't he with the KGB at some point in the past?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, he's the ruler of Russia. That's a completely, non-insult.
Well, he himself. The question is, has he actually killed someone?
I don't know.
I'm sure he's ordered hits, because he's
certainly
the ruler
has.
Of a country.
Right. He's ordered bombs dropped.
So
he has,
in fact, killed people.
By proxy. You were on RT last year during the presidential primary season.
I was not paid for it, but yes,
Just going to ask, did they tell you can't criticize Putin?
No.
They didn't put any, restrictions, strictures on what you can or cannot say?
You've got to be broadcast friendly. So
no
when,
F-word.
The late Dr. Mark Feldman used a-hole, full word, several times, they told it, you've got to
cut
stop saying that.
Right.
You're going to get us kicked off the air.
Right. So besides, don't say the F word, etc. You were not restricted. Okay.
No.
I would do it if they, you know, if they said, hey, you know, we'd like to carry Free Talk Live and pay you to.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who wants to give me a platform. I mean, there's not really too many bad ones. So, yeah, I mean,
NPR.
What if
NPR called you up?
Yep.
You'd do it. NPR.
I mean, my only kind of uneasiness there would be the government money.
I assume that you guys probably talked in detail about the UC Berkeley riot.
We know it existed, but no, I don't think we talked in detail about it. We weren't there.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought that you might have like given some coverage on it or sort of talked about it.
As I understand it, there was this Milo Yiannopoulos guy who is very controversial, I guess, and some people really, really, really didn't want him speaking on the Berkeley College campus, and so they committed some violent acts. And gave
him a national audience instead of a room full of college people.
And one theory is that Milo actually wound up hiring the rioters.
Really?
Because he knew that Trump was going to come up with some proposal of any college that accepts federal funding that doesn't allow free speech on campus doesn't get federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
So what better way than, let me hire some rioters to wind up protesting to where I can't speak on campus, and then that gives Trump the platform to roll out his announcement of we're going to withhold federal funding, and it gives Milo a national audience instead of a room of, you know, 50 people.
Riots always seem really stupid to me. Like, there's people destroying things after the Super Bowl, for instance.
There were people destroying stuff about pumpkins.
Exactly.
Pumpkins! Let's light a car on fire.
Very rarely some intelligence behind riots.
I mean, riots are usually not intellectual, but I mean, rioting against a speaker you don't like seems to me particularly stupid because, okay, so he's going to go to this college and talk to 15 people. And by the way, like when I was in undergrad, I was not aware that people saying stupid things on a college campus was grounds to be able to light things on fire. Because if it was, I could have lit so much stuff on fire.
Well, if you're a pyromaniac, you know, the sun coming up is an excuse to light things on fire,
right, like,
because you just like fire.
And I mean, I don't really know that much about Milo. I know he's right wing. I don't think he's an anarchist or libertarian.
No.
Or anything like that.
He's
talked
about how horrible libertarians are.
He's an alt-writer,
any of his work.
He's going to be at an Acapulco, so I don't know. We might actually end up talking to the guy.
I feel as though these are the same people that would fight for secession, but they're also the same people that would violently attack me if I expressed my views on like the free market or on ending the minimum wage or all these other things.
Mm. Well, politics does create strange bedfellows, as they say. You know, people who don't generally like one another may end up working together on...
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true even of libertarianism. I kind of think fairly often, like, there's some people who, and I don't dislike them in any way, but, like, I kind of think to myself, like, if we had a free market, these are probably not the people I would be around. And I mean, that's not true of everybody, obviously, but it's, you know, and they're good people, but we just live so differently that it's like, yeah, if we weren't both fighting the state, I probably would have never met this person.
The idea is if you have a firearm in your possession and you see someone either committing acts of vandalism or acts of assault or are in the preparations of committing those acts of vandalism or assault, do you have the right to use whatever force proves necessary, up to and including lethal force, to stop the vandalism or assaults as they happen?
Generally, yes, but with a couple of caveats.
Melanie is not an attorney, but she did go to law school.
Oh, yeah, but, right. This is a moral question. Is this a moral question or a legal question? I was assuming it was a moral question.
Why can't it be both?
I think he's asking both.
Okay. Right.
Which cap are you putting on here first, moral or legal?
Let's go with the moral question because that's the more important aspect to look at.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Well, Well, yeah, it is.
Well, it depends. Are you, you know, wanting to defend someone without going to jail, or do you not mind going to prison for the rest of your life?
Or do you just want to see what the answer is, because that's also a fun
use
of time.
Or are you trying to figure out how to go to prison for the rest of your life?
All right, so let's hear it,
so,
Melanie.
In general, you have a right to defend yourself and other people.
But he was talking about vandalism.
Includes yourself
well,
and
also
other,
said
other people. Other people's property includes other people.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you see somebody in the act of or in preparation of, which is more of an assault on property or a threat on property or a threat on a person, then yes, you have a moral right to defend that, except for two things. One, we're talking about a college campus, so we're talking about a lot of ownerless property.
There's one level of an attack on property that, to me, doesn't seem to really call for any kind of actual deadly force. Like, just destroying a window, it's a terrible thing to do, but I don't know if that you should have a dead body on your hands.
Well, right, but I think it depends. And, I mean, under the NAP, you're completely justified if it's your window.
The NAP is the non-aggression principle.
But from a moral standpoint, which can be more strict in what it allows than just the non-aggression principle,
right.
I think it depends.
And what about the legal standpoint?
It depends on where you are.
Just kill them all and let God sort them out?
How did you get that out of that?
Well, because everything's subjective, and so if it's okay to kill somebody in one situation, it must be okay to kill them in every situation.
No, value is objective. So if I steal a sandwich from you, that's very different than if I go to Ethiopia and steal a sandwich from somebody. Maybe they have a right to shoot me. I don't know how they'd have a gun, where maybe, if it, you know, it'd be a little different. If
so what you're saying is somebody, by your view, who's poor has more of a right to shoot someone who steals a sandwich than someone who's wealthy?
Poor or any other factors that would matter, yes. If I steal a bottle of medicine from Walgreens, Walgreens is going to be okay. If I go to somebody who's has some disease and I steal medicine that they can't even go buy, no matter how much money they have, because it's a script, and they're going to now die, that's deadly force, and they can respond with deadly force.
Let's say they're at the beach, they leave the sandwich on the table, you know, the picnic table, and some kid comes up and steals it. As they turn around, they see the kid running up and stealing the sandwich, and they say, "Stop, thief!" But the kid keeps running. If that was the last sandwich that they had, are you saying it's okay for them to pull out a Glock and blast the kid in the back as he was running away?
And the, fact that it's a kid makes it a little bit more difficult.
I don't care if it's an old man.
Let's say it's a 16-year-old who hasn't eaten in 3 days and he steals the sandwich because he's about to starve.
Okay, so that's a lifeboat situation, and it kind of doesn't really matter what the NAP says about that, because you're going to die anyway.
Right, and that's why I hate hypotheticals, because it's the whole damn trolley problem again.
From ABS-CBN News, abs-cbn.com, from Manila, there will be no more war against illicit drugs, at least for the Philippine National Police. This after PMP Chief Director General Ronald Bato de la Rosa on Monday directed all police units to halt anti-narcotics efforts, and this was the last Monday, not
correct,
not today.
1 week ago,
to halt anti-narcotics efforts and put priority instead on the, quote, internal cleansing of its ranks. He says we have to focus our efforts towards internal cleansing, and by the time the president will determine that he... the president will determine that, and he will instruct us to go back on the war on drugs. But right now, no more drug operations, said De La Rosa in a speech at Camp Crame. The PNP is set to create a counterintelligence task force that will carry out its war on scalawags.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.